Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker, and we're going to have an exciting night for you tonight. Thank you also very much for joining us this evening. We've got a lot to cover this evening, and we want to get right to it. So let's go ahead and start to bring in members of our team. Let's go ahead and start out this evening with the peachy lady all the way from Georgia itself. Miss Jay, welcome to tonight's broadcast.
Hello, everyone, and I'm glad to be here again, and I'm ready for an exciting show.
Excellent. Miss Jay will come back to us in a moment and read the disclaimer. Before she does that, we're going to go ahead and welcome all the way from North Carolina State, the international minister himself, Pastor Rowe. Pastor Rowe, thank you for joining us.
Well, Dr. Walker, and to all of our family, it's just great to be on the show, and we just are grateful and thankful for the things that we're going to be able to learn and share with others.
Excellent. Let's go ahead also and bring in, we're featured to have with us this evening. We're so excited that she joined us. Let's go ahead and welcome Miss Jubilee. Miss Jubilee, welcome to tonight's broadcast.
Welcome. It's a pleasure to be on the line today and listen to the family as well as participate. I can't wait to get started.
All right. Excellent, Ms. Jubilee. And also, let's go ahead and welcome Benny from the Block. Always a pleasure to have you, sir.
Good evening, good evening, and happy, terrific, thankful Thursday. It's a pleasure to be with you tonight.
Excellent. And let's, of course, bring in from all the way from the Florida state itself. Let's go ahead and also back to Florida, in other words, and bring in Darren Deedy. Darren Deedy, welcome to tonight's broadcast.
Well, thank you for having me. Hello, everybody. I'm looking forward to tonight's topic.
All right. And then the famous gentleman himself as well. Let's bring in the Demon Slayer. Demon Slayer, welcome to tonight's broadcast.
Thank you for having me. I just got my passport. So we're going to start slaying demons from abroad in Canada.
We're so happy. Congratulations on getting that. We're so happy that you were able to get that. Thank you for sharing that with us. All right, Ms. Jay, we're going to go ahead and give you an opportunity to read that disclaimer. We've got a lot to cover tonight, you all.
Okay. Dr. Jesse Walker, Inc. and the Dr. Jesse Walker Show wish to make this disclaimer. The opinions that are expressed on tonight's show or any of Dr. Jesse Walker, Inc. shows or affiliate shows are merely the opinion of the host, Dr. Jesse Walker, its various co-hosts, its featured guests, listeners, and callers. We do not endorse any specific or otherwise opinion and indicate that your participation or listenership is not an endorsement for legal, psychological, financial, mental, professional, or otherwise advice and should not be taken as such. The opinions expressed are for educational and informational purposes only and should be perceived as such. Thank you, and please enjoy the program tonight.
Excellent. Thank you so very much. Thank you for reading that for us, Ms. Jay. Let's go ahead and welcome all the way from, I believe, the Carolinas as well. Let's go ahead and welcome Ms. Cassandra. Cassandra, thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. It's a pleasure being with you tonight. Thank you.
Excellent. All right, this week we're going, I think we brought in Benny from Block. Yes, Benny from Block, we brought you in. Is that right?
Yes, you did. Thank you.
Okay, yes. So for the first 17 or 18 minutes, we want to continue last week's broadcast, and because some of the people, several people wrote in comments, and they really wanted those comments to be read over the air. And so we're going to go ahead and bring those in. Let's first go ahead and welcome the world-famous Dr. Patty Cakes. Dr. Patty Cakes, welcome to tonight's broadcast.
Oh, my goodness, you're so funny. Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
Excellent, excellent. We've got a lot to cover tonight. You also, please stay with us because we're actually covering two shows in one. So the first 17, 18 minutes, we're going to try to get as much in because a lot of people send in comments, and we're going to take about five or six of those comments from last week's show. But just to give you all a recap of what took place last week in that show, which was part one, and this is not part two, but we just want to reiterate some of the things. This was the scene at the grocery store. And, of course, the topic last week was, in the world we live, should you approach someone who seemingly is having a bad day, even if they have offended you, even if they have offended you? And the story is centered around two ladies, Lady 1 and Lady 2. Lady 1 is in the front of the line. You know, it's a busy store. Lady 2 is in the back of her. Lady 2 came in. You know, she's having dinner with this guy that she met recently, and she rushed in there to get some stuff so she could finish preparing for the evening. But she thought she'd be able to just rush in and rush out. So she picked up just over 10 items. You know how sometimes you go to the store and you think you're going to pick up two items, and you end up, you know, grocery shopping. So anyway, she thought she could rush through, and now the cashier is taking so long checking people out that lady number two starts this kamokas. I mean, she's just upset because she's in a hurry. So she starts cursing and swearing at the cashier up ahead. And lady number one, who's in front of her, is trying to be a good Christian lady. You know, she has a past, like many of us do, and the past wasn't so great. But she's trying to do the best she can. But she's offended by this language coming out of lady two's mouth. And so she turns to her. In the world we live today, should you approach someone who seemingly is having a bad day, even if they've offended you? So here she is. She's offended. She turns to her and says, could you just chill out? In a very calm way, could you just chill out? And lady number two starts telling her what the so-and-so and so, you fill in the blanks. And then, you know, now lady number one has her little grandchild with her, and she's highly offended by this now. And that old person is about to come out of her. That person from way back then is about to come out of her. And so now an altercation starts. And before you know it, lady number two slaps. And these are all inspired by two stories, you all. She slaps lady number one. Now, you know, if you hit them back. So lady number one starts to fight her back, okay, while people are taking their video cameras and, you know, showing that, you know, video taping this. Well, anyway, lady number two takes out a knife when lady number one turns back around, and she stabs her. No, actually, she stabs her on the right side of her chest. Stabs her. So now the security has called the police. Police comes, and now lady number two is claiming self-defense. She's claiming self-defense. Well, you know, this is a tough one, you all. In the world we live in, go ahead. And let's just bring in Sir Ben. You were on that show last week when we were talking about this here. And I just want to ask you, and we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on this one here, but Benny from the block, I want to ask you, should lady number one have just mind her own business? She probably would have been out of that store in 15, 20 minutes, but now she's in the hospital.
Yes, she should have probably mind her own business. But for some reason, we've moved into a spirit of, I got to get my point across. I got to get my emotions out. I got to say what I want to say. I can do what I idolatry is what it is. So we got to always get our point out. We got to always be the winner in everything now. And so that's what's happening now. People have become so self-absorbed that they feel like they got to get their point across. When it used to be, you know, if you saw something and didn't directly affect you, you just turned the other cheek and went on the other way.
Okay. All right, we're going to really ask you to stand by. Demon Slayer, I mean, do you agree she should have just mind her own business? And the world we live today, you just can't seem to approach anybody?
in that situation, yeah, because all you're trying to do is just go to the grocery store, just stick to your game plan, and whatever distractions come your way, just try to get yourself out of the way. You just want to try to stay in your own lane when that kind of confrontation happens.
Okay, excellent. All right, Pastor Rowe, what do you think? Pastor Rowe, you know, here in America, they're saying if you see something, say something. If you see something, say something. So was she wrong to say anything?
Well, I personally feel, you know, we're going to have our crosses to bear. You know, Jesus had his, you know, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all this world go free, you know. So what we say to people, you know, we can say it in love. You know, I mean, you know, that's, you know, it's all about love. It's not what you say, but it's the way you say it. And Scripture does say in this world, you know, offenses come, but war unto him from which the offense comes. You know, so God will ultimately deal with people. But the main thing we have to remember, whatever things we say and do it with love. That's my thoughts on that, Dr. Walker.
All right, Darren Deedy, let me bring you in here. Darren Deedy, what's your take on this? Should she have mind her own business?
Well, in a sense, yes and no. I mean, I guess that woman did kind of overreact, but I think she should have because she should have felt the urgency or the vibe off of her how wacko she was being. But someone had mentioned last week, offer your place in line first. Just tell the cashier, just void me out and get her out of here, you know, for her. She's in a hurry, you know, that kind of thing. That might have worked a little better, but she probably would have got hostile about that too. So it was like a flip 22. No matter what, she was in there with an attitude. So.
Oh, all right. We're going to certainly ask you to stand by. Ms. Jubilee, I want to bring you in here and ask the question. If we're just going to let people who are kind of bullying their way just have their way. Okay, let her out. Everybody just let her through because she's in a hurry. So what would keep me then, Ms. Jubilee, from going to the store knowing, okay, people don't want me to be loud, so I might as well be loud so I can get in and out of here no matter where I go. If I go to the cafeteria, you know, somewhere to get me something to eat for dinner, lunch, breakfast. It's like, okay, hey, you all move the line because I need to get my breakfast. So, Ms. Jubilee, what, you know, should I just have my way? Because I'm loud and obnoxious?
Well, my opinion is this. Everybody is adults, and it's not your position to start training grown adults. There's a difference between an approach and confrontation. You start off a confrontation by saying, chill out. You start an approach by saying, hey, do you want my place in line? So I have to question whether the lady who asked her to chill out was trying to teach a grown woman how to behave, or was she really motivated by love? If you're going to go and intervene, then you better have the right motivations, or you can't control what another adult is going to react to, but you certainly can control your actions and your response. So I would say check and make sure you're approaching and not confronting. Don't try to train grown people how to act at this stage in life, and substitute actions versus words where it's necessary. Not everything can be taught. Some things are caught.
All right, so don't train another adult. Ms. Jubilee, just quickly here, should lady number one have turned around and say, hey, chill out? Should she have said anything? Somebody's screaming in your ear, profane language, and you got your grandchild with you. I mean, you know, and the grandchild chances are looking at this lady, you know, and she's like, Grandma, what's wrong with her? So what are you going to do, put your hand over your grandchild's mouth and over their ears? They have a right to hear what they're hearing. What do you do, Ms. Jubilee?
That's a one way to look at it. I don't. I look at it as that's education. Your child, your grandchild is growing up in a world with people doing much worse than that. That's where teaching, you can teach her in the car. You can say something to the lady, but if you saying something is motivated by the fact that you're just frustrated, what's the point in a frustrated person approaching another frustrated person? We see how this ends. She got stabbed. So I would say do what you're doing in love, and when you're doing it from love, the words you use and the actions you use will be different. If you choose to stay silent, no harm there. Teach your granddaughter the right way, either way it happens. You have car time with her. You have other engagements. You can go with her and teach her. That's the way I look at that.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. We've got some noise in the background. Someone may be moving their something around. This studio picks up every sound. If you're not on, you can mute yourself. Dr. Pattycase, I want to bring you in here just quickly here. Dr. Pattycase, here it is. Dr. Pattycase, in the world we live today, should we just really just mind your own business? Stay out of stuff.
I mean, it just depends on the situation, but it's kind of hard in how you're raised, too. You know, some people like to push that boundary. They don't know how to mind their own business. You know what I mean? They can't help themselves. And they just, like, start talking, and you're like, I probably shouldn't have said that. Should mind my own business, but no filter, no boundaries. I'm kind of that person. So it depends on the situation. And
all right,
it would probably be smart if we did stay out of everyone's business.
Right. But, Dr. Pattycase, sometimes people are in your business and you haven't done anything. Now, Dr. Pattycase, you were on the show last week, I believe it was, and the lady touched your, because she was in a hurry, she touched your stuff, your purse and your keys. Should she have mind her own business? And that caused you to be offended, did it not?
Yeah, that bothers me, yes. I wish she would have just, especially like your personal stuff. And yet like personal space is like a big thing too, right? When people
yes.
just like override your personal boundaries on all levels, I think it's offensive. I mean, it's annoying for sure.
Okay, all right, we're going to ask you that. Missy, I want to bring you in here. We're almost about to wrap this one up. We got to take these comments that have come in. Miss J, bottom line is, mind our own business the majority of the time, Miss J?
Bottom line is, if it's not affecting you, you know, it's not body harm, you're affecting you, who are you to say something? You know, who are you to say anything to that lady? The lady, and what you said was not appropriate. Just chill. You, to me, you sound like a bully, you know. So you can look at it that way. And talking about the child there, you can't shelter that child from the world. And what number one was doing was putting wood on the fire. She just triggered more negative behavior. So, you know, you can't resolve negative with negative. You know,
all right, we're certainly going to ask this. We're going to ask you to stand by. So, Miss Day, and I'm hearing a lot of you all, so we mind our business most of the time, right? So, Miss Jay, let me put this one out there.
If it doesn't affect me, why should I get in it?
Okay,
no,
I'm
going to
use your words.
Harmed.
If it doesn't affect me, why should I get into it?
No.
Miss Jay,
but
a 12-year-old.
No one is being harmed now. No one is being harmed, you know?
Right.
But I would get into it if I saw something. I would go to the authority. But for me, who am I to attack or say something to this person? I need to go to a higher authority, you know, because I can't handle violence. And why should I get in?
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. I think we have Woman of Faith on with us tonight, too. Woman of Faith, do we have you with us? Woman of Faith. Okay, I guess we don't. Let's see here. Fashion for Greatness, is that? No. All right, let's go. It's not coming up in the queue. 908-644. Who do we have with us?
Yes, that is Fashion by Design.
Okay, we just called you Fashion for Greatness. Okay, you're with us. Thank you for joining us. We're going to ask you to stand by just for a second. All right, there are two others that are not in the queue, and you press one to speak on it. We're going to call the first six numbers, 857-615. Who do we have with us? 857-615.
Hi, this is Susan. I guess I'd be getting confused if I just be wanting to listen. So am I supposed to press a different number?
Well, you don't press one unless you want to talk. But we'll recognize you over here that you want to just listen in. Thank you, Ms. Susan.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Let's go to 908. The names are not coming up in the queue for some reason. 908-380. Who do we have? And welcome. All right, 908-380, or perhaps they're listening in or they're on mute. All right, so Fashion for Greatness, I want to bring you back in here. Fashion for Greatness, do we just mind our own business or what do we do?
I didn't hear the story because I just started.
Okay, Fashion
for Greatness,
we're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to ask you to stand by. So, Ms. J, I want to bring you back in here. So, Ms. J, if we kind of mind our own business, here's a scenario quickly here. A 9-year-old child, you're out to the restaurant with your family, And there's across from you, there's a little boy, appears to be about 9 years of age. He's choking. He's choking. Something went down his throat, and it got stuck in his throat. And he's with his grandmother, and she's panicking. She doesn't know what to do. And people are in the restaurant, and there's no medical doctor or anything or a nurse, and nobody seems to be wanting to get involved. Ms. J, should somebody get over there and try to turn the child upside down or do something?
That's a different scenario, and the answer is yes, because they're detrimental to somebody's health, and that could help save somebody's life. So definitely yes, because that has happened to me, you know. I knew how to give the hammer and pop that little. He swallowed a peppermint candy.
Okay.
And it was
okay.
Yes, definitely.
Right. So now, Miss Jake, but was there a legal duty to go over there and help that child if you're in that restaurant, or when you got to help the kid where they swallowed the peppermint candy? Did you have a legal duty
it
to do that?
It was a legal duty, but I knew what to do. I have had the CPR training and all that certified. So I did. But if
all
I
right.
didn't know what to do, I'll try to get some help, but I knew what to do.
All right. Very good. We're so proud of you. Let me bring Dr. Patty Cakes in here. Dr. Patty Cakes, you're sitting in there. You know how to do it. But then at the same time, Dr. Patty Cakes, there's a good likelihood. We're on the air live. Call that number. Dr. Patty Cakes, so what happens is you're there, and you know how to do this as the Helmut maneuver. So you know how to do it, but do you have a legal duty to do it? That's a 9-year-old kid.
I think you absolutely have a legal duty to do it. I mean, if you're training CPR, I think that, I forget what the American Red Cross says about that, but I think that is absolutely a legal duty. I mean, it depends. Like, I know my dad's a retired fireman. Like, as a fireman, I know he was, you know, if somebody saw him not stop at a scene that he could have been at prior to emergency services being there, that he could get in trouble, from my understanding of what he used to tell me. But, why wouldn't you? You know what I mean? What are you doing? You learn that for a reason. Why wouldn't you get up and try to save someone's life?
I know. But then the question became, do you have a legal duty? And from laws that I've been reading, there's no legal duty unless you're familiar, mm-hmm. unless you're a family member,
more like
spouse,
a moral
have
duty.
Some relationship with that child.
Yeah, I don't think it's like legal, like enforced, you know, if you don't
right.
do it, you're breaking the law, but it's a moral obligation.
So that, then that becomes very sensitive as well, a moral obligation. Then by whose standards are we being judged by? Okay, if I'm sitting there and I chose, I'm not going over there because if I make the situation worse, now that grandmother wants to bring a legal suit against me.
Mm-hmm.
So out of the legal concerns, people fail to get involved. But with this, going back to the bully just for a second, I mean, do we just stand by and everybody's heart is beating and pounding? Because when we hear things that are out of the norm, it brings a form of fear, Dr. Patty Cakes, in us. And you know how that adrenaline starts to rush. So then what are we supposed to do? Just let our adrenaline flow and let your grandchild who's with you, you know, and they're pulling on you, Grandma, what's wrong with that lady? And now the lady's offended because this child is saying something about her. Now what?
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't.
I know it's
you
world.
Can shelter that child from the world, because if that child didn't hear it in the grocery store, he or she going to hear it somewhere. So it's very important to be there with her to explain.
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. We're going to ask all of you to stand by. I got to take these comments. Then we're going to move on to tonight's topic. Let me go here now, this name is not coming up in the queue. We're going to call the first six numbers, 470-541. Who do we have with us and welcome?
Hi, this is Keisha. How are y'all?
Keisha, thank you for joining us. Keisha, thank you for joining us. Glad to have you with us. We're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to go now to Miss Joyce. Miss Joyce, welcome to tonight's broadcast. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, good evening, Dr. Walker, and good evening, everyone. Hope everyone's well.
All right. We're going to take these comments, and I'm going to go to a select number of you all. Just give me your quick thought on it, and so we can move right along. In the world we live today, should you approach someone who is seemingly having a bad day, even if they have offended you? This is part one. We'll get to part two in a few weeks. This male, he writes in, he says, in today's world, I would personally be careful approaching anyone who seems to be agitated or have a mean spirit because you just don't know how they will respond. That's just my opinion. Pastor Roll, quickly here. Are they on point? Just don't say anything to anybody?
Well, I it's not what you say. I just feel basically it's just the way you say it, you know, and, you know, you say it, you say things in love. But I like what my sister had before mentioned about legal / moral, you know, but only also you say we got to be sensitive, but even a spiritual responsibility. You see, our sister, brother, others in need, you know, we do what we can to help them. That's our moral compass, to do the right thing.
Thank you. All right, we're going to certainly ask you to stand by, Pastor Rowe. Let me take this other comment. We'll take about six of these, five or six of them. Fashion for Greatness, I want to bring you in here. This comment is, this woman says, in the world we live today, I've always felt that if you come slick out of the mouth when you come to me, I'm going to be somewhat like some of your co-hosts on the show, Dr. Walk. I'm going to give it back to you the same way. I just don't know how to back down, and I'm not going to live in fear. I would have been lady one, she says. And she says, if that lady would have brought it on to me, I would have taken it right back to her. Fashionable Greatness, what do you think about that? An eye for an eye?
No, I would say not for an eye for an eye, because sometimes people want to see a reaction when they say certain things or do certain things. So sometimes you just have to ignore people when they're being ignorant. I do.
All right. We're going to certainly ask you to stand by. Demon Slayer, I want to bring you in here just for this next comment. Mm-hmm. Demon Slayer, this comment here that came in says, this male, he writes in, he says, growing up in the family home, I saw the attitude that my father had when it came to approaching people back then. Nowadays, there is clearly a difference that you just can't take the risk of getting hurt or killed because you verbally challenged someone like my father did back in the day. Demon Slayer, is he on point? What do you think? Or is that living in fear?
I don't think it's living in fear. I think it's being cautious to the situation at hand. Sometimes when you help people, it's costly, especially if you don't know the characteristics or how they react to anger or something like that. So you just got to pick your battles how you want to pick them, but just don't put yourself in them. Position where you can be harmed or killed.
All right, we're certainly going to ask you to stand by. Let me bring in Keisha. Keisha, for this next comment, let me take this one to you. And this female, she says, in the world we live today, I got into an argument with a lady at the washout for removing my clothes from the dryer because I was 5 minutes late picking up my clothes. We started fighting because I told her she had no right to touch my clothes. She pulled out a knife, and that scared me. Later, I thought how stupid it was for me to approach her. Fashion for Greatness. I mean, somebody touch your clothes. That's the personal space and your personal belongings, your clothes, your underwear. Fashion for Greatness?
Yes. I will agree with where Brother Lorenzo. I mean, of course, you know, that is a bad thing, depending on if the individual is trying to be helpful or just being nasty because they actually wanted to use the machine or not. So I would say, like Brother Lorenzo, you know, sometimes people are just really, really hateful and mean, so you have to be very, very careful because in a situation like that, it can be, you know, you can be really put yourself in a situation where you can really, really get hurt. So you have to know if the person was doing it to be nice or if the person was doing it to be mean, or you yourself just has a mean spirit and don't want nobody to touch your stuff because the person actually could have been doing something very nice just to help you.
All right. They could have been, wow, really, touching your clothes. All right, we're going to certainly ask you to stand by. Keisha, I want to bring you in here, Keisha, with this next comment. Keisha, here it is. This male says, we were having a friendly basketball game, and my friend innocently fouled this guy, and the guy got so angry that he went to his car and got a gun and came back and shot and killed my friend. I mean, who would imagine getting killed over a stupid basketball game? Your thoughts on that?
In today's society, it's possible. I'm not surprised at all. My personal opinion, I actually told a little boy one day, I was in Dollar Tree, and he just kept cursing, and I was like, where's your mama? That little boy looked at me, turned around, and started cussing me out and said, she in the car. You want me to go get her? I told my head like, oh. I said, I bet you I won't do that again. That kind of taught me a lesson because not everybody's raised the same way. In today's society, people are not the same. That was definitely not called for. But you can't play sports with everybody because some people don't know how to take losing. Like, some people don't have good sportsmanship.
All right. Excellent. We're going to ask you to stand by. Okay, Ms. Cassandra, I have this one here for you. Are you available, Ms. Cassandra?
I am.
Okay, this comment. This female, she said, and this is the last one we'll be able to take. We can't read all of these comments because we got to move on to the other section now. This female, she says, I have a very bad temper. That temper has often gotten me into trouble. I am really interested in calming myself down because of the world we now live in. Any suggestions from your listeners, Dr. Walker? Okay, Ms. Cassandra, she wants to know, do you have any suggestion? She's trying to calm herself down. She has a bad temper. What do you think she needs to do?
Well, that is a great decision to calm down because a lot of times in life, even now in today's society, when people are all up in the air and frustrated and this type of thing, it causes more confusion. So the best thing to do is calm down, get an understanding of what's going on, so then you know how to, approach the situation and how to take care of it, how to handle it. So, yeah, she's doing a good thing, and I salute her for that, for calming down.
Very good. And where we live today, this concludes that part of our segment tonight. We're going to move on to tonight's topic. Tonight's topic, if you're just joining us, does love sometimes happen? Or do we know when we cross the line? Let me just start out here with Miss J. Miss J, when does love just really happen? Sometimes, I didn't mean for it to happen. It just happened. I didn't mean to fall in love with this person. It just happened. Or do we know when we cross the line? Miss J, your thoughts.
That's interesting. My personal thought, I don't think love just happened. Love comes in a continuous way. You gradually start loving a person. You might like a person, but to just come out and say, I love this person, this is it, and all that, I don't think it just happened. I think you know what you're doing. You know if you're about to cross a line or whatever, because it's just not going to come magically. I'm in love. You know you had to make some steps to get there, and you cross over that line to get there probably.
Okay, so Ms. J, let me ask you this question quickly here before we go to tonight's story. So, Ms. J, have you ever experienced, and of course you can say I pass on it, which, to avoid incriminating oneself. So now the question is, have you ever been approached by a guy and he was cute and he had a girlfriend, but instead, it's like, hey, he ain't married, Ms. J?
Yeah. I have been approached by someone with a girlfriend, but he wasn't married. Okay, but I didn't fall in love with him.
All right. Ms. J, we're going to certainly ask you all. Right. We're going to ask you to stand by. So tonight's characters are Mark. You want to get this now. Mark, his wife. We didn't give the wife a name, but there's a reason for that. We're just going to call him Mark's wife, okay? And that's not demeaning. There's a reason. And then there's Nancy. We didn't want you all to get confused. So you got Mark, you have his wife, and then you have Nancy. Nancy is someone else. The scene is at the gym. This is at the gym. And all of these stories, as Ms. J said, are inspired by true stories, true events. They really happen. Now, Mark has been married to his wife for the past 12 years. They have three young children. Mark is 37 years old, and his wife is 33 years old. When they first met nearly 14 years ago, his wife was in excellent shape and really kept herself up with her grooming. As our story fast forwards with three children later, his wife is now overweight and not as appealing as times pass. Despite Mark's efforts to encourage his wife to take better care of herself and get into an exercise program, hoping to be more attracted to his wife, right? Now, well, it has not happened, and Mark has been going to the gym at least 3 to 4 times a week and is in excellent shape with a nice body build. While at the gym, Mark constantly sees so many beautiful and absolutely fine women with seemingly perfect bodies that it frustrates him when he gets home. These women are also attracted to him as evidence of them constantly approaching him and flirting. Recently, Mark was approached by a 27-year-old single lady by the name of Nancy, an absolutely gorgeous figure of a woman with everything going for her, including the perfect body. Come on, help us. She had been watching Mark for some time now and finally built her nerve to ask him out for a cup of tea. Without hesitation, Mark told her that he was married. Silently, he said it, but he said it. She insisted that it would be an innocent cup of tea. Mark was so mesmerized by her beauty and her body that he could not help himself and agreed to get a cup of tea after the gym workout. The boy, I'm telling you, he couldn't help himself. All right, we'll come back to it in just a minute. Well, their meeting for the tea must have been really exciting because 3 months later, and this is only part one, you all, 3 months later, Mark and Nancy are very much in love. The time has flown by, and it seemed like love just happened, as Nancy just broke the news to Mark that she is 2 months pregnant from him. Mark is absolutely devastated. Poor guy. Nancy has also told him, she told him this, get this. She told him that she plans to keep the baby, and she is demanding that he leaves his wife and family and be her full-time man and father to their unborn child. Otherwise, she has clearly made it known that she will tell his wife. Now Mark is faced with a dilemma of, did love simply happen? Or did he know that he crossed the line? Poor Mark. Miss J, I want to bring you in here. Is Mark, I mean, don't you feel kind of sorry for Mark, Miss J?
No, I don't feel no sorry for Mark. I don't feel
no sorry.
But
he didn't mean for it to happen, Miss Jane.
He knew he was married. He knew when you're married, you don't go out to tea. Temptation is there, especially when you're lusting over the woman already. And you know that temptation going to be there. So he was asking for all this to happen. He knew that line just started and raged him. And he just went right over it. You know,
but he didn't go looking for it. She came to him, Miss Jay. Doesn't that make a difference?
No, but he was, yeah, she came to him, but he was still lusting after her. And that was just, I mean, that just made his day, you know, for her to do that. So, yeah, it came to him, but, you know, and then to say love this quick, what love got to do with Tina resting so over, she's gone now, but what love got to do with, you know, he wasn't in love with this woman. He lusting over her body. And now this woman demanding he leave, he up the creek without a pat, ain't he?
He is. He's the poor guy. He's just, he couldn't love this. It's like, let me, sir, Benny from the Block, I want to bring you in here. Demon Slayer, standby. We want to bring you in as well. But Benny from the Block, I want to bring you in here right quickly. And sometimes, I mean, women are not men and men are not women. This guy is going home. His wife's overweight, you know, 12 years of marriage. She's not trying to groom herself. And he's going to the gym, and these women are fine and beautiful. And then he goes, he sees all of this. I mean, his eyes, you know, his eyes are not, like, shut. And then he goes home. He's frustrated. So now this woman comes to him. Benny's on the Block, tell the ladies out here how difficult that can be when a man just can't help himself.
Well, it's a very difficult situation. That's why temptation is so strong in those areas. Now, I agree with you on that 100%. Now I'm going to go to the other side. When you get a woman that you love, you should see her past the physicality of who she is. You have to see her for the woman that she's become when she was with you, the woman that she's been there for you, helped me, and all those things that are important as you were building and growing. And so for that, you see her differently. Because now she doesn't represent the physicalities of a woman. She represents everything there is about love in that woman.
All right. We're certainly going to ask you to stand by. Darren Deedy, would you understand? I mean, this is part one. You all think this is something. Wait till you hear this part two of this story, which is coming in a few weeks ahead. But Darren Deedy, I mean, now he's faced with, if he doesn't leave his wife and family, now this woman is threatening to come and tell his wife. I mean, what is the poor guy supposed to do, Darren Deedy?
Well, it's unfortunate. He's going to have to tell his wife. she's not going to need to hear it from another woman. He's going to have to fess up to his situation, you know, and let the balls roll from there. She may forgive him, or it may be the end of their marriage. But, yeah, he's up the creek without a paddle right now.
Right. We're going to certainly ask you to stand by. Dr. Patty Case, I want to bring you back in here, Dr. Patty Case, and ask, Dr. Patty Case, in a hypothetical situation, if something like that were to remotely happen, can you just give the man a second chance and that he made a mistake? Dr. Patty Case, don't people make mistakes? Dr. Patty Case?
They do make mistakes. And,
yes.
And, you know, depending on where you're at in your, you know, self-worth journey or what you're willing to bend on, I had a very similar situation. And my ex-husband cheated on me with someone from the gym. And I was willing to forgive him for that because I was so fixated on wanting to have this, you know, stable marriage for my daughter so she didn't have to endure what I went through in my childhood. And I was willing to overlook that. But now that I've gone through that, I would say absolutely not. There's no chances I would, I don't know. I'm not walking through that at this moment. But I don't know. That's one of those things that damages a marriage so badly. It's so hard to regain trust. And, you know, I would say no for me. Now that's a big, big old no. So.
Okay. So, but Dr. Sankey, do you feel a little sorry for the guy? I mean, sometimes, I mean, love, does it just happen? Or, you know, even when you didn't mean for it to happen? I mean, we're only human, Dr. Sankey.
Well, and I guess that's why a pastor has recommended to me before. He said married couples should go to the gym together. They said don't join a gym unless you're going to go together because that is a big place for this to, you know, to be vulnerable for. So, I mean, I guess I don't feel bad for him because I would never do that to somebody. But, you know, I've lived through that heartache of being betrayed. And so I would do whatever I needed to control myself to never do that to anyone. And just, you know, there's a method to, out of respect for that partner of yours, no matter how long you've been married or together or whatever, that you could just control yourself until the relationship's over. You know
what
I mean? But
Dr. Patty, could you be just speaking as a woman, and because you don't know how men perceive it, and of course it's not all men, but when they see, mm-hmm. you know, when they're seeing that their significant other is kind of getting out of control with things,
right.
and they didn't meet them like that. Dr. Patty Case, then it's like, and you're at that gym. Dr. Patty Case,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like you're at that
well,
gym, and it's like, he's, go ahead.
So that ties in different things, too, because then it's not just about physical appearance. It's about, you know, there's a kind of an overlap because you say, oh, well, taking pride in your health and, you know, like an effort for yourself to try, you know what I mean? But there's so many disorders and things that people are so sick with that cause weight issues. So I really feel for that side of it too. And of course, when someone is in that position, mentally, you don't know what that wife is going through. I mean, people that have depression and they have tried things and it's not working, they're even more defeated to keep trying. And then maybe they think self-sabotage. Maybe I'm not worth it. You know, he's going to find someone else better anyway, or who knows what kind of rabbit trail of psychological things she's dealing with.
That's a very good point. We're going to ask you to stand by, Dr. Patty Case. Let's see here. Fashion for Greatness. I want to bring you back in here. Fashion for Greatness, I believe we still have. Fashion for Greatness, are you there?
Yes,
all right.
I am.
She's just, are you there? Fashion for Greatness. Okay, so Fashion for Greatness.
I am.
You know, the question becomes Fashion for Greatness. And we know that you're not. We know that you're not a man. You're listening to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show live. Does love sometimes happen, or do we know when we cross the line? You can call 347-857-1769. Okay, so we know that love sometimes just happens, right? It just happens. Or do we cross the line? Like in our story tonight, Pastor Greatness, did he cross the line? All right. Perhaps you're just thinking about it. We'll come back to you.
Yeah.
All right. We'll come back to you. Let's go here now. Pastor Rowe, let me bring you back in here, Pastor Rowe. Pastor Rowe, I mean, can you explain maybe, and maybe I'm having a difficult time, but we know that men and women, just like men and women, according to science and psychology, we perceive sounds differently. So when a woman hears our voice, we might not even be arguing, but it's the way that we say things. And, of course, we say it's not what you say but how you say it, but the elevation of our tone, the bass and the baritone that comes with it sometimes, especially when there may be a discussion or something seems badly going on. So now when you know you see, can you explain to maybe our audience out here that's listening that the perception of what we see as men, you know, how that appeal comes to us first. You know, we're looking at that because men are thinking intimacy. It says 90% of the day. That's what, according to science and psychology, they're thinking intimate thoughts. You know, that's perhaps our makeup. So explain to them, Pastor Rowe, why that man may be how he is to the best of your ability as a man, that he sees this physique. And like Adam saw Eve, after seeing animals, and certainly we're not calling anybody animals because this can go both ways. A woman can be going to the gym and her man is completely out of shape. And then she's frustrated when she comes home because he's sitting there eating bags of potato chips. You know, he done had these large bags of potato chips, and now he's got ice cream and he's got cake and everything else. So, Pastor Rowe, explain your thoughts on this.
Well, you can pick up on the vibes, you know, of tones and things, the way people talk and basically the way that people express themselves. But I do want to say to you, you know, things might not just happen in a gym. You know, you can be in your own home, you know, and you look at the women. Excellent example of that is David. You know, he wasn't in a gym, but he saw this beautiful woman, you know, and naked, you know, and you see what happened to him. But we can learn from past mistakes, you know. He saw what he did. Should the man go back and tell his wife that he impregnated the Nancy or whatever her name was, you know? But what David did, well, while he was a man after God's own heart, you know, he acknowledged his transgression and his sins was ever before him. But when all is said and done, he was a man after God's own heart because he repented. Well, maybe in this case, the other person was Mark or whatever. He should have repented to his wife, you know, what he had done. It takes a lot of courage to do that, you know, but we can learn from the experiences of others, you know. And that's my comments on that, Dr. Walker.
Okay, so Pastor Rowe, I'm just asking here. You know, a man is really going to build up his nerve to tell his wife until it gets in. When you think he will only tell her if it's the 11th hour when he has no choice, because now that woman is coming to his, about to come to his house, she's been ringing his phone and so forth at 3 o'clock in the morning. Do you think he would just tell his wife if everything seems to be normal? Do you really think a man would do that, Pastor Rowe? I'm just asking.
Most people wouldn't do it, but if you're a man after God's own heart, you know, it's all about repentance and saying, I'm sorry. You got to dig that deep down on the inside and approach, you know, your wife and say, honey, I've got something to say, you know.
Right. So, Pastor Rowe, are we apologizing, and this could be men or women, you all, are we apologizing because now we've been threatened because these demands have been placed on us, and almost like we've gotten caught? So we're in a catch-22. So are we apologizing and saying, I'm sorry? Are we really sorry, Pastor Rowe, when we're, and I'm talking men and women, in your opinion here, are we really sorry? Are we sorry we got caught? He was like devastated when this woman told him she was pregnant. He was devastated. But did he, you know, I mean, he was hanging out with her for 3 months and knowing that, you know, he was married. So was he, I mean, you know, love just happened. Don't you think, Pastor Rowe, that sometimes love can just happen? You didn't mean for it to happen. You think Eve really meant to take that fruit?
Well, I mean, you know, things, you know, does happen. But, you know, I just have made my comments. You know, we know the truth, and you know the truth, and the truth will set you free. you know, and so you have to, you know, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. You got to repent. Say, honey, I'm sorry. It's not what you say. It's the way you say it. And if she accepts it, praise the Lord. If she doesn't, then you got to deal with the consequences of your actions. Back to you, Dr. Walker.
So, Pastor Ro, really, okay, we're going to ask you to stand by. Demon Slayer, I want to bring you in here. Demon Slayer, what are your thoughts? You know, that man now, he's facing his wife. He's facing his wife. And he's got to tell her that he's another woman that did he I don't know what he's going to say to her. I want you to take us, Demon Slayer, both sides. You know, maybe the merciful side for him and then the unmerciful side for his wife. What are your thoughts, Demon Slayer?
The merciful side for him is that he made bad decisions. He knew what he was getting into. I mean, so was his wife. He's a little bit overweight, but you got to stand by that covenant. You got to stand by those vows. So he let the whorish woman that's standing on the corner get into his lustful eye. That's a Jezebel spirit that was attacking him to try to take his life and his soul. It's a difference between making mistakes and just keep making mistakes. It's a difference between getting a traffic ticket and a murder charge. What he did was kept on making decisions for him to get a murder charge. And so now he got to tell his wife what he has been doing all this time while in the wake of another woman in her bed. They didn't even give her the respect enough to wear a condom. Just went blood raw in her and didn't even know any of the consequences that was going to happen. So I don't have no pity for him. I don't even feel sorry for the guy. Because he could have stopped it at any time, but he kept on letting his lustful eyes and the lustfulness of him on the inside, that Jezebel spirit just took over. And now he got to deal with the consequences of her wanting to kill, steal, and destroy his marriage.
All right. Let me go in. Miss J, I want to bring you in. Miss J, sometimes when we've crossed that line, like perhaps in Mark's case, it's not always easy to retract that. Sometimes it's like sometimes I had to study addictions deeply, you know, as part of a curriculum that I had to for my educational levels. And addictions can be a very – sometimes we're looking from the outside and saying, why can't people just stop that? They know they're crossing the line. Why can't they stop? But see, then, Ms. J, sometimes people don't understand that, you know, because of the degradation of sin, what has happened to the world, it's like it takes a power greater than yourself to cut some of these things loose. So, Ms. J, so, I mean, it's easy for us to perhaps say, we should just stop. We know we're doing wrong. He tried to, Ms. J, when even though he said it gently and softly, because he didn't really, you know, now he want to hide it. I'm married. You know, and then he's like, but, you know, the temptation, the resistance, we say, how? Give it to us. Just give it to us raw.
Well, you know, Nancy was just like the spider. She lured him into her web. Like you said, she asked him out for tea. She knew exactly what she was doing. And, you know, we're powerful. The poor little Mark, he just is weak. He see this beautiful woman. He go into that web. Yeah, he done got addicted to it. Everything's good to him. He can't let it go. But, you know, everything good to you and for you, everything good to you ain't necessarily for you. And, you know, all I could say, you know, I know he probably didn't have the willpower until she dropped that ball on him. And he didn't expect that to happen. You know, and now he ready to go back to wifey and do some apologizing and begging for her forgiveness, you know. And I don't know what to say for him. I know he got weak. He wasn't getting what he wanted from his wifey for some reason. He wanted something different and new. But they'd been married 37 years.
No, they were only married for the past 12 years.
Yeah. I mean, goodness, they knew. You know, I mean, his sex with his wife shouldn't have changed that much. So he would just want to be adventurous and out there for something new. But it wasn't nothing but lust. And y'all keep saying love, but he was just lusting over that woman, over Nancy.
Okay,
that's
so Miss J, while I've got you here, I've got to ask you this question. And for all the ladies out here that have sons, why is it, Ms. J, and you can certainly pass and somebody else can take this one if you like, why is it that the mothers are always, because my mother did it to me, they're always cautioning their sons about women? Because I just heard you say in this statement tonight that you all are very powerful. Is that not what you said, that women are very powerful?
Yeah, we are.
Okay, so why is it that mothers are all, my mother did it to me. She did it to all of her sons. They would caution us about women. So why does a mother do that? I have my thoughts on it, to protect us, but it's like as if, Mom, don't we grow up and figure it out for ourselves? You know,
no,
so why do they do that, Ms.? So their sons especially.
But once you young guys get a taste of the sweet nectar, y'all don't know what to do. Because I'm just say this right quick. My son was 16, and this 26-year-old woman was after him. And she looked like she was like 17 or 18. But I found out she was 26, and you know what happened after that. You know. But I was decent with it. We all three of us, well, four of us with my husband, we all sat down and we discussed it. And I told her, you know, nice lady, but you too old for my son. But she started talking about how mature my son was. It had nothing to do with maturity. She just found her something she could bring out and make her own, you know. But, yeah, and this was Nancy, 27. Oh, yeah, she was ready for Mark.
Mm-hmm. So, Ms. J, in the final analysis, Mark is faced with a dilemma. So, Ms. J, the poor guy, does he leave his wife and go to this woman? She's fine and gorgeous, and what he was attracted to now turns out to seem to be have some tendencies of being demonic. So what does he do? Or does he, like, you know, Pascal and others have said, he breaks down and just tells his wife, but what man would want to lose a woman, Ms. J?
No, he needs to break down and tell his wife because for this woman, I don't think Nancy really want marriage. She just wanted this man to know, really to destroy this man. I don't know why she wanted to destroy him, but some women, hey, I found me a fool. I'm going to use him to the end, you know. I'm going to get him, you know, some women just want to destroy you. She knew you was married, so she's trying to destroy you then. You know, who to say fell in love with him? I mean, this thing is kind of sketchy to me anyway. Because, you know, these married single women going to these married older men, and they know that they got a family and all that, they have their reasons. They got a
family. But it makes it easier when you have a family, when you're married and you have a family, because then there's no attachment like that. She has her freedom, or even if it's a man, if that man approaches a woman that he knows is married, then it's like she can't place demands on him because she's got a husband. And that makes it so much easier, Ms. J. So what do you do with that? What do you do with that? It's like, I can do whatever I want to do because, you know, they just, for me, for some times, you know?
It made it easier on Nancy, yes, but it wasn't easy on Mark because Mark had too much.
That's why I say poor guy.
Too much to lose. So, he's about to lose it.
So, Ms. J, would you say then, Ms. J, I want to play this scenario with you, Ms. J, if you don't mind. Would you play along with me for a second?
Okay.
All right. I'm Mark now, and you're the wife, and I went out here with Nancy. So now I know Nancy is serious about coming to tell you. So now I'm saying, sweetie, I got to tell you something. And, I mean, it breaks my heart. I am just so sorry that, you know, I made the biggest mistake that I could have ever made. And, sweetie, I love you so much. You're the greatest thing that I've ever seen in my life. But somehow or other, the devil must have made me do this because I've never done anything like this before. But I met this woman at the gym, and she came on to me. And before you knew it, I just got involved, and she got pregnant. And I wanted to tell you so you wouldn't find out from anybody else because I love you so much. Would you please forgive me? And if you want me to just sleep on the couch, I will. So
Mark, how long was this? I mean, what, y'all just had a one-time affair? What, just one time?
Of course I'm going to lie now. Yes, it just happened. But you don't know I'm lying. But it just happened at one time, and then she told me she got pregnant.
Come on. You want me to think that you just with that woman one time? I know you can get pregnant after one time, but no, I don't believe that. And why you had to go to someone else? because for the past few months, I've been noticing a difference in you. You know, you have been wanting to sleep with me. You have been wanting to touch me. I've been noticing it. So I don't want to hear this one time. You know,
okay,
it's
but,
more to it than that.
But, sweetie, I'm just
more
asking you.
It.
I made
no,
them.
I don't want to hear it until you can come to me with the truth because it's more to it. I have sensed things about you. We've been together 12 years, and I know you a little bit. You act like you don't want to touch me or look at me or kiss me anymore. I don't want to hear that. It's more to it.
All right. What
so
you want me to do?
Nothing else I need to say to you right now. You need to get yourself together. We'll talk about this whenever I feel like I want to. Right now,
okay.
I don't want to say nothing to you.
Well, I'm going to come in and just go to bed now. I'm going to take a shower and get in the bed.
Now, you can find you somewhere to go.
Well, you want me
maybe
to just sleep on the couch?
Maybe you need to go to that person right now, because right now I have nothing to say to you. And I will end that thing with that, because I need to calm down, and you need to get your life straight.
Okay, so I take the blanket and I go sleep on the couch. That's you're okay with
you
that, right?
You sleep that at night. You sleep that at night, then you'll find you another place. I don't want to see you.
So, Miss J, right there, Miss J, that saves my chances. That means I got a chance.
No,
because. Yeah, because you're letting me stay there for the night, and then I'm going to sleep on the couch, right? And that means you by it might be next week you're gonna calm down a little bit, and you might have. But at least you know now. I didn't argue back with you. I know you're upset, so now I get to sleep on the couch. That means I might have a chance. So we're gonna ask you to stand by, Miss Kate.
One night, but listen, after all this come out, and I find out it was 3 months, and the latest. You know, y'all been doing this, and she wants you to leave me and all this kind of stuff, you know.
I'm not going
to
tell you all of that, Miss Jane.
You make up your mind what you and this lady going to do.
But I probably wouldn't tell you all of that part, that, you know, she's demented.
I ain't no trust you then. You ain't no Harley comeback when I ain't got the full story. A lot of women will let you, but you talking to me right now.
Right.
You ain't coming back because I've been sensing some things for months. A woman is, well, some women can tell these things, you know. If I know we used to be real intimate and close and all that, and all of a sudden you start acting differently, Coming home.
All right.
And then you got to get in the shower, time to get home.
See, you didn't say all of that, Promise, until you start thinking more about this. We're going to ask you to stand by. let me bring in. Woman of faith, I want to bring you in here. Miss Jubilee, that is. Miss Jubilee, I want to bring you in now, Miss Jubilee. Miss Jubilee, can you just, if it's our situation, can you just forgive me and realize I made a horrible mistake? I mean, I came crying to you, begging. Where's the God in you, Miss Jubilee?
Gonna take more. I'm with the lady who just came off the line. The reality is, we keep trying to feel sympathy for Mark, but I don't. The reason I don't feel sympathy for him because he seemed like he's trying to escape consequences. And before he was even trying to escape consequences, he had a chance to crack this thing when it's a snake. Now it's a dragon. It's not love because you started out the story by saying he resented her weight. It's resentment. It's not. I don't hear nothing about Mark with dealing with the original issue. You know, it's a lot of chucking and jiving and trying to, you know, get out of the situation he got himself into. But I don't hear anything that smacks of truth or honesty or even integrity. And that's the question. It's not a love issue. It's an integrity issue. And I have questions.
All right. We're certainly going to ask you to stand by. Keisha, I want to bring you in here. Keisha, and maybe you can help us out here a little bit. Keisha, what do you think? Do you think, I mean, is anybody going to really, like, look at Mark's side? He's human. Everybody's made mistakes. Keisha, I mean, can't the guy get another chance? I don't think we have Keisha there, and we wanted to get her comments. All right, we're going to ask you all to stand by just for a second. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. 347-857-1769 is our call-in number. We've got a live one here tonight. I mean, it's just, does love sometimes just happen, or do we know when we cross the line? let's see here, Pastor Rowe, do we, I mean, Mark crossed the line. We always talk about forgiveness. Can't his wife just forgive him and say, you know, put him in a doghouse for 3 or 4 days and forgive him?
Well, you know, Dr. Walker, you know, there's a point, you know, in Christ we got to get. And even though I'm a pastor, you know, but I have to deal, you know, I mean, just to say, okay, I forgive you, you know, I mean, that's not easily said and done. But a lot of us got the Flip Wilson mentality. I think he was the one that said, the devil made me do it.
Yes.
You know, and so a lot of them just like that. You come into your wife, come into the husband come, that devil made me do it. You know, that was a household thing. You know, the devil made me do it. You remember that, you know?
Yes, sir.
So when you're going to start accepting the response, stop lying on the devil. It wasn't the devil that did it. It was just you and your lustful, nasty spirit.
Okay, you know? Pastor, are you telling me then that when you say prior to what the serpent did to Eve, they were perfect? Would you say they were perfect?
Well,
Would you say they were perfect? Yes,
because God made them that way, but they was influenced by Satan.
So there was a stimuli that caused Eve to do what she did, which was the serpent. So how be it then if Mark is saying, the devil made me do it, and I know Flip Wilson did these things, you know, for jokes and ridicule, but now Mark is saying, I don't know what came over me. Something came over me to do this. Why can we say, and just like you said, it was persuasion or it was an influence, the same that Eve had, perhaps. So then why, you know, God, you know, made, you know, salvation for Adam and Eve, so why couldn't Mark's wife make salvation for him? I'm just asking.
Well, you know, things is going to happen, you know, even, you know, we start getting scripture, you know. God knew that these things would happen. That's why he sent his only, you know, to redeem mankind, you know, and he did it thousands and thousands of years later. You know, that was just his plan of salvation. You know, he knew that these things was going to happen, you know. But we just have, as the demon slayer had mentioned about the Jezebel spirit and things like that, we have to be saying we have to accept our own responsibilities instead of putting things off on the devil, you know.
Okay.
So that's my comments on that.
Right. So, Pastor Roll, if that's the case, and you use the word happen 3 times in this sentence here, and so, Pastor Roll, isn't it possible that love sometimes happens? Is it possible, would you say, that love sometimes happens and you don't mean for it to happen? Because you hear people that say, you know, I'm married to my wife today or I'm married to my husband today, and I didn't fall in love with them. I had to grow in love with them. Love just happened. So, Pastor Roll, is it fair to say that sometimes love just happens, as our topic is tonight?
Well, I like what you just said, growth. You know, things start, you know, small, but it can replicate and it can grow outward, you know, when you feed it, you know. So it's a process.
Okay, so when Mark went out for that, what seemingly was an innocent cup of tea, couldn't it just have happened, Pastor Rowe? Couldn't it just have happened? You know, a window, even in law, they talk about a shadow of a doubt. That's in criminal law. If there's a shadow of a doubt, then you got to, then you cannot charge that person as being guilty. A shadow of a doubt, that's a small shadow. It's a jarred. You know, then that person has to be acquitted because there's a shadow of a doubt. So isn't it possible that what he thought might have been the innocent turns into be now he's about to have another child from somebody that's not his wife? Couldn't it have happened? I mean, if I'm in that court of law and I'm arguing this case, he didn't mean for it to happen. What was his intent? He told this woman that he was married. Pastor Rowe, where does forgiveness and say, well, I'm going to stand by my man or my woman? Pastor Rowe, quickly, what are your thoughts?
Well, it's difficult. It would be even difficult for me, you know, and I've been passing over 40-something years, you know, that would be difficult, you know, just to say, I forgive you, you know. It's going to be some, you know, let us reason together, says the Lord, you know, and God can change things, you know. But it's a process, and we have to grow to that. But the sister before me, a few minutes ago, had mentioned about the spider and the web. You know, spiders, you know, they know that they get you in that web, they got you. You know, so you just got to make sure you don't get in the web. So that's my thoughts on that. It's hard to just say, I forgive you without sit down and talking about this thing.
But Pastor, we talked about it earlier, and I asked a question to Ms. J. Why is it that mothers, you know, have these conversations with their sons? And we know what the answer is, to protect them. So now even the protection of a web, and it's not that we're not attacking women here, because this could go either way, because I have kids, and I talk to my sons, I talk to my daughters, you know, so both sides. So just so our story tonight is about Mark, his wife, and Nancy. So Pastor Roe, having said this part, you know, now here it is. We're looking at, you just said that certain things happen. They just happen. So we're recognizing that love could just happen where it was not intentional to happen or it was not purposeful to happen, but it just happened. So, let me go here. That's what we're going to ask you to stand by. Ms. Joyce, I want to bring you in here. Ms. Joyce, more than 55% of the marriages are ending in divorce because people are constantly making errors. Or could we just forgive and keep forgiving? And just be in love, no matter what.
You can forgive. I mean, you can forgive as much as you want to, but, you know, and stay married or whatever, but it's the vow you vow. I mean, nobody has any loyalty to one another.
See, that's what we're coming down to. You know, we got an upcoming show about that very topic. Is there any loyalty? Is there any commitment out there? We're going to ask you all to stand by just for a second. You know, does love sometimes just happen? Or do we know when we cross the line? Let's go to the names are not coming up in the queue. We're going to call the first six numbers, 310-963. Who do we have with us? Thank you for your patience.
Paulette Barnett. Can you hear me?
Paulette Barnett, thank you for joining us. Paulette Barnett, can somebody just fall in love and they didn't mean for it to happen? We're only human. We're only human.
What part of that? I mean, this seems a little bit unreal to me that someone would think that, oh, well, I went out and got another woman pregnant and I didn't mean for it to happen. I mean, the logic of that is just not there. You don't go out and get another woman pregnant, and I didn't mean for it to happen. There's a lot of immaturity there, selfishness there. On the front end, and someone else commented on this as well, he was commenting to his wife about working out. So he had already lost interest in her to a degree. And when he started talking to her about taking care of herself, that's all well and good. But he was falling away. There was no loyalty on his part. His eye was roaming. And you can forgive someone, but when you don't trust someone, you can still forgive them, but it's very difficult to love them. And if there's no trust there,
right,
then the marriage is gone.
Okay, so Ms. Paulette Barnett, I want to ask you this question. I take it that you heard the whole story, did you?
I've been listening, yes.
Okay, so the question becomes, could it be, like in law, there's something called comparative negligence and contributory negligence, which is basically if I ran, if the car is parked on the side of the road and there's an ordinance that says no parking here, but somebody went into the store, just to the ATM machine. You know how they park at them stores sometimes? But then I don't have a last clear chance to move, and then because somebody else was coming through the parking lot driving erratically, and then I hit your car, and I'm injured now. you know, and then your passenger in that car is also injured. Now, there may be, the jury may find that it was contributory or comparative negligence, which means that I might be responsible for 60% of the damages, which includes medical, and you might be responsible for 40%. That's contributory. So my question to you, Ms. Paulette Barnett, is this. Could Mark's wife have contributed to any of this cause that led him to Nancy because she was not grooming herself or taking care of herself anymore, which caused her to be overweight? What are your quick thoughts on that? We're running out of time.
No. She could blame herself if she chooses to. He could blame her if he chose to. The bottom line, he chose to cheat on his wife, which makes him weak because he's walking in the flesh. He's letting his flesh run him. The whole purpose of our relationship with Christ is to walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. And we can find all the excuses that we want to try to justify his behavior, but it doesn't stand. It doesn't stand at all.
Okay, but Ms. Paulette Barnett, so, I mean, there is, would you agree that perfection in humans does not exist, or does it?
No, it does not. It can, but it doesn't.
But
it's
does
rare.
It exist? You're saying it can as if to suggest or infer that in the future it could. But as in our state of being, does perfection exist? Are you perfect, Ms. Barnett?
Nobody is perfect 24/7.
Okay, so is it fair to say that perfection does not exist? Okay,
again.
So we're going to ask you to stand by, Ms. Paulette Barnett. Sir, Benny from the Block, I want to bring you in here. So Benny from the Block, and we're hearing what's being said. So now the question becomes, Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden with God and messed up. So we are descendants of Adam and Eve. Is it expected of us to be perfect? Or perhaps Benny from the Block is just listening in. Demon Slayer, let me bring you in. And so with that question, is it expected of us to be perfect? Should Mark, even though we're probably saying he crossed the line, that love just doesn't happen. He caused it because he crossed the line. So now what?
Yeah, so, yeah, he did cross the line because he made bad choices and bad decisions. That's and I'm gonna take it from her point of view too. That's why it's very important. Before and after that you get married, is that you keep yourself up and you go to the gym, you keep your legs tight, your buttocks right, your arms and your shoulders right, and you keep your mate, you might still have a little, you know, might look at beautiful, okay, that's it, but, you know, you're just going to say, okay, you're going to have something to compare it to. You say, oh, my woman's bad too, my man is bad too. He works out, he looks good. So you got to keep yourself in competition. You know, you got to stay looking good. But that still don't deter the fact that he really screwed up.
Right. So what we call, you know, I think it's only fair that we look, and you all, I'm certainly not pushing anybody doing anything wrong. But what my position here is, I like us to always just have something to think about. Look at all sides, all angles of every situation. And they call that totality of the circumstance. Let's look at all sides. You know, and I love what the Demon Slayer just said. We all have got to play a role in this thing by keeping ourselves up intact and doing the very best that we can. And, yes, hopefully we can grow gracefully together. But you don't overindulge and, well, let me leave that one alone. Let me go here now. We got to take some of these comments. You all, we're almost out of time. And we appreciate all of you all patience. We're going to put the first one out here to Ms. Cassandra. We're going to give you this first one here. Let's go here now to this first comment. That is, we got a lot of them that came in tonight. We'll take about five or six of them because we got to keep it moving. Mr. Cassandra, we give you this first one, this mail. He writes in, does love sometimes happen, or do we know when we cross the line? I do think that love sometimes happens, even when you don't mean for it to happen, like in Mark's case. I really don't think he meant for it to happen. I fell in love with a woman who was just really sweet to me, and we've been together for 3 years now. Initially, she was not a woman who I would have been attracted to. Your thoughts on that, Ms. Cassandra? Quickly, we're running out of time, please.
Well, okay, yes. I do feel that sometimes people can, when they first meet someone, that their attractiveness is great. You know what I'm saying? I would say even with Lorenzo and I, if I can say that, when we first met each other, we were sitting across the room from each other, and we locked eyes. And in that room, regardless who all was in there, it's like we were talking to each other with our eyes. And we have been together ever since. And some things happened down, you know, between the years here and there, but we're still together. But with that guy, you know, that being said, yes, I think it can. And it did happen, because if he's with someone who he normally wouldn't have been with and he's with her, then that lets you know that it can happen.
All right. We're going to certainly ask you to stand by. Let's try this here one more time, because you queued in again. 908-380. Are you there? Or are you still just listening? All right. Perhaps that person is just still listening. All right. Then we go here now. We're running almost out of time. Let's go here now let's go down. Ms. J, I want to bring you in here, Ms. J, and we're going to give you this comment here. We're running out of time, you all. Okay, speaking of the gym, this female, she says, all I can tell you is that if you don't want love to just happen to you, then do the right thing and don't entertain it. What I mean by that is I was married to a wonderful man a few years ago, and I had an affair on my job with a married man who I could not resist. The affair ultimately cost both of us our marriages and families. He and I eventually broke up. As I reflect back in time, it was not really worth it. Now I'm alone and miserable. Poor lady. We definitely crossed the line and knew it. Miss J, don't you feel a little sorry for her a little bit?
Well, somewhat, but like you said, don't put yourself in that temptation spot, you know, because you know what can possibly happen. So don't put yourself in it. If you've married and all, you shouldn't put yourself in it. But if you feel that desire and that temptation, you need to stay away from the situation as much as you can, for you won't, you know, be forced to get involved in it. So that's
okay,
all
so
I can
look,
say.
If she works with this guy, how are you going
to
not go to work, Ms. J? I mean, you're seeing him
you
every day.
You can have a relationship on work. It's after hours and lunchtime, secret places, or being alone. Working is cool. But it's some other situations where, you know, and then if you're in a meeting or whatever, you got to sit next to them. You can sit two seats down. You know, just limit yourself. No. And then point blank, just tell him. Be strong enough to say, hey, I'm married. I'm not going to get involved in anything. You know, you just got to let them know, because everybody's going to try it. So you
but she
strong.
Said in her language here, she says, I couldn't resist him. That's what she said. I'm going by her word. She says, I could not resist this guy. And she was married to a wonderful man. Miss Jace, doesn't love just sometimes happen? Then you don't mean for
that
it to
no
happen?
Love, Dr. Walker. That woman, her libidos, her lust, just whatever. I don't know what problem she got. But she needs to go home and talk it out with her husband. See, can he feel whatever desire she needs? Maybe that her and her husband need to communicate about this lust problem. That's love. Y'all stop saying love.
Wow. We're going to certainly ask you to stand by. Wow. We got a live one here tonight. Oh, my goodness, this is terrible. Ms. Jubilee, I want to bring you back in here. Ms. Jubilee, are you still with us?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay, take this comment here, this one here. This we're almost out of time. This male, he says, does love sometimes happen? I promise you, I did not intend to fall in love with this married woman I met in the supermarket. It just seemed we were always at the supermarket at the same time. One day her husband obviously suspected something and followed her to the hotel we were at, and all hell broke loose, he said. The police were called. It's not worth it. I'm really sorry that I allowed it to happen. Love does not just happen. We should have more control. woman of faith, but it happened to him. Now he's sorry. So I don't get it, Miss Jubilee. Help me out with that.
Well, I think we are maybe asking the wrong questions about the scenario. I would just simply say the small answer, can love just happen? Yes. But the question is self-awareness. Are you aware of yourself enough to know? You know, just like how you have learning styles in school, everybody may be in front of a teacher and there's a verbal, auditory, you know, verbal kinesthetic. You have different styles of learning. It is your responsibility, like these people are saying, to be keyed in and self-aware as to what love looks like to you and what lust looks like to you. Because if you confuse the two, you end up with these circumstances that we have. Right? And then you have a lack of self-awareness now can be linked to several other things. You know, we talked about integrity. We talked about how people are seeing this contract of marriage. How, you know, are they coming from a religious basis with the marriage? Is it a covenant? Is it a contract? What are the viewpoints? But I think to start with self-awareness, know what it's like for yourself to fall in love with someone.
All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to take three more comments, you all. We're running out of time. 15 seconds or less, you all. Let's go here now, this comment, and we're going to give this one here. Let's go with, wow. Let's go with Ms. Joyce. Ms. Joyce, let's give you this one here. We're almost out of time. This female, she says, okay, I want to say this, Dr. Walker. I don't care if it offends someone out there because I think people really need to know how stupid they can be when they think love just happens. Wow, this is deep. I think lust just happens and people jump in for the ride and don't even think for a moment about the consequences. It happened to me because of my stupid husband, whom I was married to for 18 years. We are in our early 60s and he got a 37-year-old woman pregnant. He's an idiot. Wow, poor guy. And I left him. I'm not buying it that love just happens. Why is it that men think with the wrong head? Have mercy. Miss Joyce, this lady, she sounds like she's mad, Miss Joyce.
Hey.
You think? Okay, perhaps Miss Joyce is just listening. Ms. J, let me bring you in here. Ms. J, she sounds like she's mad.
She should, because, I mean, you know, nothing against you guys, but a lot of times y'all do things with the wrong head. You see this beauty out there, and you just got to go for it. You don't even think from the head up to the top. You know, you don't. And, you know, and then you're going to talk about I fell in love, and then, like, what's his name, Mark, something happened, and you're like, oh, Lord, look what I've done. This woman threatened me now. And all I wanted was to have sex. And now you got this.
So, but she calls her husband an idiot on live radio, Miss J. Is that nice?
If the shoe fit.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Wow, she's really mad. Wow, I can tell she's really mad. All right, here's another comment. Let's go over here. Pastor Rowe, let's bring you in on this one here. Just Pastor Rowe. Wow. This male, he says, well, no matter how you may look at it, women blame men and men blame women. But what we need to realize is that it takes two to tangle. So when we think that love just happens, to me it means we either allow it to happen by initiating it or accepting it. Think about it. Nothing just simply happens unless we cause or make it happen. Pastor Rowe, that sounds like it makes sense. What do you think, Pastor Rowe?
Well, you know, everything that makes sense, you know, is not sense, you know. And I'll say to this, you know, I have to align myself with the word of God. You know, scripture says there is no temptation taken man but such as coming to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will make a way of escape. You know, so there is a way of escape, and when all is said and done, we have to be able to have the power of Jesus when he say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. A lot of people just do things out of ignorance, you know. Was he sorry, or was he sorry that he got caught? You know, that's the thing. You know, but the devil is very deceptive. He comes to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So that's my thoughts and comments on that, Dr. Walker. Back
all right. Sir, Benny from the Block, are you still with us?
I am.
Okay, Benny from Block, we're going to give you the last comment and just close us out, if you would. Does love sometimes happen, or do we know when we cross the line? This last comment comes in, Benny from the Block, and this email, she says, I've been a science teacher for over 20 years, and I can truly tell you that the theory of cause and effect are absolutely true. Don't just take my word for it. Research it for yourself. Here is cause and effect, which can also be applied to when you think love just happens. And here she gives an illustration. She says, a cause states why something happened. An effect states a result or outcome. At times, a single cause leads to several effects. For example, stress leads to both short-term and long-term effects. Other times, several causes contribute to a single effect. So when you are out there with the intent to cause love to happen or just happen, there is likely going to be an effect where the consequences are most likely not what you had hoped for in terms of the outcome. You better think before you act. The bottom line is people know when they cross the line. Benny from the Block, what's your thoughts and close us out, please?
That's absolutely correct. It's just like we know when we have committed sin, even though we might not always acknowledge it, but we know. And so going forward with this, can you fall in love with someone you're not supposed to? Well, yeah, that's been happening from the beginning of time. We have to get to a place to know that when you have a spouse, you have made a commitment to that spouse. That commitment is not predicated on your feelings, your flesh, your thought, your libido, your sexual drive, none of that. You made a conscious decision to love that person. Now, do we honor that covenant? It seems as because we've taken love to be just like any other word. I love you. When we was in school, we used to write, and that was sufficient to start a dating process. We used to say, hey, man, I really, really dig her. I really want to get with her. And that was sufficient to start a process. Now we use love as an adjective to describe all those processes, without having the full effect of what love is. We have a moral obligation. We have a humanistic obligation to not just allow ourselves to systematically fall in love with people just because we see it, we think about it, we feel something, we just want to try something different. No. We have to be deliberate about who we fall in love with, because there's people, there's children, there's sex, there's all kind of things that will affect your entire life as a result of your bad decision in something that you call love, but it really wasn't love. It was just a bad decision on your behalf. So going forward, we have to look forward to how we're going to live our lives deliberately. If we're going to be in love, be in love. If you're going to be in lust, just be in lust. If you're going to be in light, just be in light. But choose the one that you choose to be, and don't use the fake false one under the name of love to go forward in your life to hurt other people or cause great pain to them, their family, and your future.
All right. On that note, we're clearly out of time. Benny from the Block, thank you for that wonderful closing. And listen, you thought tonight's topic was deep. Tomorrow night's topic is going to be even deeper. Because tomorrow night's topic is, the question becomes, if we say we love God, then why don't we keep his commandments? Because he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So the question becomes, if we say we love God, then why don't we keep his commandments? Listen, we're out of time tonight. They're threatening me to get off the air. I got to go. Listen, I want to thank all of you all for joining us on tonight's broadcast. Those of you all we weren't able to get to tonight, please continue to call in early so that we can get to you earlier in the night's program, in our programming. Listen, until tomorrow night or until next week, I want to say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Let's go closing, Benny.
Good night.
And Brother Lorenzo and Dr. Ross.
God bless you.
Safe on the road. Everyone,
great closing, Benny. Great comments, Brother Lorenzo. Great comments.
Thank you, sir. You too, Pastor Ross.
Thank you all. Thank you all.
You too, Miss Cassandra, right?
Yes. Good night, Dr. Walker, and good night, everyone. Keep safe, keep well, everyone. Thank you. Love you all. Bye-bye.
Marjorie, don't forget Isogenic.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Pastor Rose. Great show. Thank you.